our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to Pastor Jackson, to the Reverend clergy, to the officers of this church, to the men of this church, to the choir, to the ushers, to Lottie, to Dottie, and to everybody. Amen. We are delighted and excited to be here to share with you on this Lord's Day as we celebrate the men of this church and community and to honor and worship the Lord, our God. And I am particularly delighted to be here with my friend Pastor Jackson to see all the love that he's received. If I was struggling and didn't have much voice and that kind of thing, my folk would have been sending me notes saying, "That I'll tell you, don't say much today." They would have had some cough drops, but they would have kept them in their pocket. Amen. So we're delighted to be here. I bring you greetings from the Union Church in Durham, where we've been privileged to serve now for about 21 years. And we're delighted to have traveling with us Deacon and Deaconess Leonard and Darrell Graham, as well as my wife Evelyn, sharing with us this morning in worship. It's good to be back at Mount Olive. I was here a few years ago and was blessed by the worship, and we're delighted to be here today. From the scripture, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. I just want to read verses 3 and 4 again in your hearing. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. God, we come now to this preaching moment. Send the preacher who makes preaching easy. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. For a few moments from this passage, I want to preach from the subject, brothers helping brothers. Brothers helping brothers. To those of you who are students of the Bible, this text is a familiar one. It is the story of four men who brought their friend to Jesus only to discover that they had to remove the roof in order to get him to Jesus. On this Men's Day, I want to talk about brothers helping brothers experience the delivering power of God. And to the ladies, while this is Men's Day and the message is focused toward men, the principles are gender neutral. And for the young folk that's here today, if you want to put a tag on this text, you can call it, "Let's Go Through the Roof." I want to focus this message toward men because I believe that we need to structure ministry in the church to reach more men. Come on. And rest assured that I'm not going to use this moment nor this pulpit to beat up on brothers and talk about what we don't do and what we are doing. Let me just say that, yes, there are some sorry men, just like there are some sorry women. But thank God for the men of this church. Thank God for men whose heart's desire is to do ministry and to be what God has called them to be. I don't know at what point in our history it was that church became unattractive to men. Many of us have been socialized to believe that church is not for men, that That church is for women, girls, grandma, and for the preacher. But this view misses the beauty of the gospel for men. It misses the meaning of Jesus. All one has to do is to follow the redemptive drama from the continent of Africa, and you cannot but recognize that this whole business of redemption has been a man's mission. It was to Adam that God committed the world. It was to Abraham whose seed God blessed. It was Jacob who became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when Jesus walked this earth, he first gathered men to be his disciples. And I believe that we can successfully develop ministry that is attractive to men. And the starting point is with men who are already in church. Because the Bible declares that iron sharpens iron. And I believe that the best people to bring other men to church are men. See, men, once you've experienced the delivering power of God for yourself, you ought to run and tell somebody else. Men, one of the reasons that we ought to be in church is because you've experienced God for yourself. You can't talk about what you don't know any more than you can introduce somebody you've never met. And maybe the reason we don't have more men in church is because we've got some men at church but not in church. See, there's a difference. You can be at church but not in church. You see, when you're at church, you are physically present. But when you're in church, you are spiritually present. When you're at church, you observe. But when you're in church, you participate. When you're at church, you see folk. But when you're in church, you see God. When you're at church, you're motivated by the crowd. But when you're in church, you're moved by the Spirit. I wish I had a witness here who wasn't ashamed to testify that you were at church one time, but now you're in church. As a matter of fact, not only are you in church, but somehow church is in you. And when the church gets in you, it will make a difference in your life. It'll make you sing and ain't no music playing. It'll make you cry and there's nothing sad. It'll make you run and nobody's chasing you. Brothers ought to help other brothers to experience the delivering power of God. This is what our text is all about today. The word is out that Jesus is in town. And not only is the word out that Jesus is in town, but the word is out of his exact location. In other words, the folk know whose house Jesus is in. And I need to tell you that regardless of whose house it was, whenever Jesus makes an appearance in the house, that house will forever be transformed. I wish I had time to call a few witnesses who would testify what it means to have Jesus in the house. If I did, I'd call Jairus and he would tell us, or Zacchaeus, or Mary and Martha. I could call Simon Peter, but I sense I really don't need to call any witnesses, because I believe there's somebody in Mount Olive today that can testify. You know what it's like when Jesus shows up in the house. Do I have any witnesses? When Jesus shows up, his presence makes a difference. And I'm glad that not only does his presence makes a difference in your house, but it makes a difference in the church house. For every now and then in the church house, it does not matter what's going on, the Lord will show up. And when the Lord shows up, he has a way of altering the agenda. He has a way of altering the bulletin. When the Lord shows up every now and then, you can be in prayer. And the Lord will show up and things will begin to move from heart to heart and breast to breast. So the text says that Jesus was in the house. And it was noised about. You see, Jesus is in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, you can't keep it quiet. When Jesus is in the house, they ought to be rejoicing. When Jesus is in the house, they ought to be some praise. And when Jesus is in the house, every now and then somebody ought to shout. It was noised about that Jesus is in the house. And notice what happens. Five brothers who used to run together come to the house. One of the brothers was paralyzed. Something had happened to him. He lost his strength. He'd gone to doctors perhaps, but they were unable to treat his condition. How many of you know that sometimes you can have a situation so acute that doctors can't treat you? Here was this brother no longer able to hang with his homies. He no longer could do all of the things that they did because he's paralyzed. He's been relegated to a pallet. And you know, sometimes when you get down, the fellas you used to run with will forget you. Particularly if you stay down long enough. Or they'll visit you when you first go down. But stay down for a few months. And you will discover that suddenly they ain't coming by to see you. And then they're not texting you. And they won't call you and they won't tweet you. And sooner or later they have forgotten you. But here's another brother. He's not able to do the things that he used to do. But he's got some friends who remember him. And they went to him and said, "Brother, there's another brother in town. And we believe that he's able to heal you. And we want to know if you want us to take you to him." Momentary detour. You can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. If you got somebody that don't want to be helped, you may as well get up off your knees and quit praying for them, because it's not going to do any good. But now, just because you can't help everybody, it does not mean that you can't help somebody. And you ought to help those that you can help. You ought to have a testimony: if I can help somebody. So here is this brother lying on his pallet there with his boys, and they're going to take him to Jesus. Now notice, the paralyzed man offers no resistance. He does not play 20 questions with them. It blows my mind how there are some folk that can't help themselves, and when you try to help them, they bum you out because they want to play 20 questions. How we going to get there? What day we going to go? Are y'all able to carry me? Are y'all going to call the paramedic? How we going to... If you can't help yourself and you got folk that want to help you, don't run them away. Hello, somebody. This man was paralyzed, but he could have offered resistance. He could have said, I don't want to go. But notice, he was willing. He was a willing subject. But then secondly, these men were able to do what they did not only because they had a willing subject, but because they were organized in their effort. You see, they weren't arguing about who was going to hold the front pole or stand in what place. Sometimes we can't bring people to Christ because we're too caught up arguing about who's going to do what and who's going to get the credit, rather than working in concert. We are pulling in different directions. We are paralyzed by, I got to be seen. I got to be up front. But I want to serve notice on you that when you work in the Lord's house, never lose sight of your mission. And in this case, the mission was to get the man to Jesus. It didn't matter for them where they stood. They wanted to get the man to Jesus. And notice that each man grabbed a corner of the pole. Each man held up his end. And sometimes when you make a concerted effort, your testimony alone is not enough. But if you have the testimony of two or three other brothers, you can get the man to Jesus. These four men were together. It didn't matter what their past had been. It didn't matter whether they were alphas or kappas or sigmas or omegas. They had one goal in mind, and that goal was to get the paralyzed man to the one who is the alpha and the omega. The one who is more than alpha and omega. The one who is alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pyro, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, chi, psi. And I wonder, is there anybody in the house who knows what I'm talking about? These men come together and organize. And their mindset is, we're going to get this man to Jesus. But the third thing we see in this text is that these brothers did not allow obstacles, the obstacles of religion, to deter them. No, notice, if you will, as you watch this picture. Here you have Jesus in the house. And because Jesus is in the house, a crowd gathers. Every room is jammed. Doors are blocked. Windows have folk in them. But nobody's calling the fire marshal of town to check out the safety of the building. The crowd is there. And let me tell you what can happen. Sometime when the crowd gets in church, the crowd will crowd out those who need to be in church. Now, I know in Hackensack and Mount Olive, you don't have those kind of folk, but sometimes folk don't come to church because those who are already at church, you'll get that later on. Nobody's trying to make room to accommodate him. As a matter of fact, the so-called Christians in the house are there, and all they're concerned about is interacting with Jesus for themselves. In other words, there were folk who made it their business to block this man's progress to Jesus. They tried to hinder the brother from getting the lame man to Jesus so that he could be healed. These folk were so concerned about self that they weren't going to let anybody else in that might get a blessing. Haven't you seen folk like that? They don't want God to bless anybody else out of fear that if God blesses somebody else, that God might shortchange them. But I need to tell somebody, there are no shortages in God. And I need to remind somebody that if God's got a blessing with your name on it, that all the devils in hell won't be able to keep you from getting God's blessing. And every now and then when the devil tries to block your blessing, you need to look the devil in the eye and say, what God has for me, it is for me. Yeah, they're trying to monopolize God. But these men didn't allow religion to deter them. Religion had blocked the door, but they weren't discouraged. And allow me to jump ahead of the story to show you how religion responded. When the man finally gets to Jesus, religion in the form of the scribes were critical because Jesus told the man, take up your bed and walk. Your sins are forgiven. Somebody didn't get that. Let me break it down. Sometimes when we bring people to Christ, some of us are so religious until we feel like we can prescribe how the Lord ought to deal with other folk. Some of us have forgotten that we haven't been holy all of our lives. Some of us have forgotten that we ain't been saved all of our lives. Some out of us have forgotten that had it not been for somebody that took us to Jesus, we would still be out in the street. And so here they are trying to prescribe how Jesus ought to deal with this man. But these men didn't allow this obstacle to get in their way. They just decided that whatever it took. And every now and then, you got to have a mindset that says, whatever it takes, I'm not going to allow anything to block my progress. If I can use my imagination, they went to the front door and they were unable to get in the front door. They went around the back door and they were unable to get through the back door. They surveyed the windows up and they were unable to get to the windows up. And I believe in my mind that it was about that time one of them said, well, we tried our best, But we are not able to get the man to Jesus. We may as well go home. And another brother said, yeah, we tried. It's sad that we're so close, but we're still not successful. And a third brother said, well, it is a sad sight, but we got to just take him on back home. But there was a fourth brother. And that fourth brother didn't say anything. And they began to look at him and said, do you got anything you want to add? And I saw that brother just standing there. And then suddenly he started to look up. And something in his spirit was saying, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He said, brothers, I got a plan. It may sound crazy, but I got a plan. I want you to go around and get on one corner. I want you to go around and get on the other corner. I want you to go around and get on this corner. And I'm going to get right here. And on the count of three, we going to take the roof off. And I came to tell somebody in Mount Island today, I wish I had somebody that would get on one corner and somebody to get on another corner. I need somebody that'll get a corner back here. And I'll get on this corner and we gonna count to three. And then we gonna take the roof off. Get ready, get ready. One. You ought to get ready, get ready. Grab hold of your corner. Two. Get ready. Three. And they tore the roof off and let the man down in the presence of the Lord. And I came to tell somebody that what we need are brothers willing to help brothers. We need somebody that won't judge you by what you've done. Somebody that understands if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.